Welcome, everyone, to the debut of the very first Mike Saves Hockey. I'm your host, Mike Straw, here on Full Press Radio, Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press coverage on Facebook, on Twitch, YouTube, wherever you can find us. We are there. I'm super happy to be joining you each and every Friday, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And rather than what we do on the Tuesday night show on Full Press Hockey Weekly with myself, Jim Behringer, and Chris Wassel, this show is all about making the game of hockey better. I'm not just talking about the latest news, but what can we do to make the game better? What needs to be done to fix the game of hockey, to make it more entertaining? What about the broadcast partners? What about the rules? What about the officiating? There's a lot to get into. And that's going to come over the course of various episodes. But today, we're going to talk about one major issue that we've had probably the better part of 15 years. Over 15 years now. It's still a problem. It's still not solved, despite them trying their best to make it so. And that's overtime and the shootout. And before we get into that, if you want to be part of the show, you can join us in the chat at twitch.tv/fullpresscoverage, youtube.com/fullpresscoverage, Facebook. You can also call or text the show 626-310-8882. If you are listening, you can listen to us on iOS, Android devices by downloading the Full Press Coverage app, or enable Full Press Coverage Radio Network on your Amazon Alexa devices. So we have that all out of the way. Now, it's time to talk about the NHL and a major problem they have. We're just going to jump right into it. Overtime continues to be just brutal. There's just no reason for it. There has never been a reason for going to a shootout. It seems teams are more okay now than ever to go to a shootout. And it's quite bothersome, to be honest. This is a sport that needs speed. It needs excitement. It needs action. And once they hit that overtime, it seems like teams are content. At least once they get past the halfway part of 3-on-3, that it really doesn't matter anymore. Overtime is kind of just, let's get to the shootout and see what happens. They tried to solve that with 3-on-3, going from 4-on-4 for 5 minutes. It worked a little bit. I don't want to say it's worked great, but it's gotten pretty dull. Teams are just content of hanging out. And sure, if we look at the numbers about games decided in overtime versus the shootout, we're currently hovering at about 61% of games that make it to overtime are decided in overtime as opposed to making it to the shootout. But to me, that's still too high of a number of almost 40% of games going to a shootout. Back in 2018, 2019, 68% of those games ended in overtime instead of the shootout, which I'd like to see at 75% or above. And there are ways to do that. There are major ways to get around that option. Or that obstacle. And we'll get into that. But I don't think, trying to think of the best way to word this, I don't think that the NHL really can do much as far as, hear me out, as far as major overhaul sweeping changes. What they need to do as far as like taking away 3-on-3 and changing it to something else. The 3-on-3 is here to stay. I'm fine with it. They can obviously extend it to 10 minutes and see what happens that way. My guess, you do that, you're automatically getting into the 75-80% range of games ending in overtime as opposed to the shootout where anything can happen. But it bothers me that the shootout matters so much when you get to the playoffs and it doesn't. I think that's what bothers me the most. That's why I didn't mind 5-on-5 overtime with a tie at the end, because at least you were playing the 5-on-5 game. 4-on-4 was okay. They went to that after 99, after the 98-99 season, and that was fine. I've always been a proponent for extending overtime at least to 10 minutes. I don't want unlimited because 82 games in a schedule. I don't want anything like that. But I do want more. I want teams to try more in overtime. The 3-on-3 for 10 minutes, I think, is what would be perfect. Ian suggests 10 minutes of 4-on-4. I'm even okay with that. But there's one thing to me that really would help teams try for the win rather than let's play for overtime and let's play for the shootout. And you hear people talk about it a lot. And the biggest thing to me is the 3-2-1 system that the AHL has gone to. Other leagues utilize it. It's just not the fact the NHL doesn't have it. It bothers me. The NHL would be far better, and teams, I think, would be far more inclined to play for the win if the 3-2-1 point system were enacted. Now, just saying add the 3-2-1 system isn't going to be the be-all, end-all to save teams not playing for a shootout, teams not playing for overtime, right? But the 3-2-1 system, for those that don't know, and if you're watching and listening, wherever you may be, I'm assuming you do, but I'm going to explain it anyway. Teams that win in regulation, you get 3 points. An overtime win earns 2, and an overtime loss earns 1, and then a regulation loss learns 0, or warrants 0. So teams will play for that regulation win because of 3 points being up for grabs. An overtime win gets you 2, an overtime loss. Here's where I would change it, though. I like the 3-2-1, but once you get to the shootout, it's tough because an overtime win is still 2 points. If I say get to the shootout, and even if you win the shootout, you only get a point, well, then what's the point of the shootout at that point? End in a tie, which I'm still perfectly okay with. End in a tie. Bring back ties. Shootouts, they were fun at the start. They're fun for younger fans, for casual fans. They're exciting to some. Most of us hate it. Most of us, I can guarantee, hate it. I've talked to players, and players are kind of 50-50 over the years when talking to players now. I haven't been in an NHL locker room probably in about 4 years now. But I would often ask, like, especially after shootout games, even if they've won, what they thought about shootouts. I'd ask them in games that just ended in overtime about what if you got to the shootout, were you guys looking for that? And you had players just say, we just don't want to get there. There's goaltenders that never wanted to get there and still don't. There are goaltenders that just don't do well in one-on-one shootout situations because the player has no one chasing him to think about. So it's literally the player and the goalie one-on-one, which hockey at its natural state, but it's not something that should determine seating in the league and things like that. And I know they changed it to regulation overtime victories mean more in tiebreakers than shootout victories, but still not enough. But players are hit or miss on it. It's not like it's something fun or enjoyable at all times for them. In overtime, right now, shots are just not. It seems like there's a lot of overtime periods where you'll see shots be 3-1, 2-0. You see teams constantly skating back into their own zone rather than try and dump and chase in 3-on-3. You see teams just trying. There's no action. There's none. They all try and have these strategies. They're trying to not dictate, but micromanage overtime strategies at 3-on-3. All right. And it leads to very, very boring hockey. Period. Just straight up boring, straight up bad, not fun at all. And when you go back, it was incredible. The amount of shot attempts in overtime. Let's look at the shot attempts. The shot attempts per 60, right? In OT for the last few years. Right now, we're sitting at 111.5 shot attempts per 60 currently this season. Last season, we were at 110. Two seasons ago, we were at 122. Three seasons ago, 122. We were near 130 the prior seasons before that. So shot attempts have dropped almost 20 per 60 in the last four seasons because it's beginning to be more micromanaged. You look at shots on goal, and they've dropped nearly 10 shots on goal per 60 over the last three seasons because everything's getting micromanaged. It was originally, you know what? We're in overtime. We got a point. Let's go and get that second point, and let's put our best players out there and see what they can do with all that open ice. And right now, it's, all right, let's shut down someone, and we don't really have a... I can't think of one team that puts out just all offense to try and go and get that win. And it's not something I really like to see. Usually when it gets to 3-on-3, if a game goes to overtime, I'll watch maybe a minute of it. And you can kind of see the writing on the wall and how it's going to be, and then you shut it down. Because that's just unfortunately how it's going to be. And last year we can say, okay, well, last year we had the 56 games, so they'll go up. They're hovering around the same. They're on pace to be about the same, if not less than last year. I mean, our shots on goal is the exact same number at this point this season at 71.9 as it was at the end of last season at 71.9. So it's hard to say that it's an anomaly because of the shortened season, because it's not. And the shortened season before that, 2019-20, it was at 78. So almost 79. So the idea that it's still okay, it still works, is a farce and a fallacy to me. And trying to fix that is making it matter to teams. I still think extending overtime to 10 minutes is the first thing you want to try. Put in the 3-2-1 system could be the second thing, but we'll see on that one. It's tough to say just the 3-2-1 change the point system. I get it. The players would have to approve a change for extending the overtime, but I don't know. I feel like more players would go for it because it would be less of a potential of a shootout, and you might get, well, we don't want to play another full 10 minutes, so let's try and just win the game in overtime now. And you see more risks and you see things taken up like that. And there was an article. I can't remember who wrote it, but actually I think it might've been a tweet or something from Bob McKenzie, who had a GM tell him back, what, 6 years ago? Yeah, it's from TSN, October 7th, 2015. Bob McKenzie, one NHL head coach, said, quote, "Give us some time and we'll make 3-on-3 as boring as 4-on-4 had become." Another coach said, "Don't kid yourself. The coaches will have this dummy down in no time." And it's happened. And that's because I've said it's the theme of the night. Of the afternoon, and it's micromanage. They have micromanaged the hell out of it, and they've killed any sort of excitement and joy. And that's one of the biggest problems with hockey today, is there's not a lot of excitement in the game anymore. Coaches, you have this old boy mentality with a lot of coaches and a lot of veterans of no fancy stick work, no fancy this, no fancy that. I mean, we saw it when Trevor Zegras made that beautiful pass to Sonny Milano against the Sabres. Kind of looked like he was going to lacrosse goal at Michigan it, and it was a pass over the top of the net. Milano batted it in. And then you have John Tortorella coming out on ESPN complaining, like, well, it's nice, but it's not hockey, blah, blah, blah. Like, do they just not like fun? I don't get it. I'm tired of the old boy mentality in this game. I will forever be tired of the old boy mentality in this game. Guys, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the debut of Mike Saves Hockey here on Full Press Radio. FullPressRadio.com, Full Press Hockey, Twitch.tv/FullPressCoverage, Facebook.com/FullPressNHL, Twitter.com/FullPressNHL, wherever. We are everywhere. The Full Press Coverage app on iOS and Android, and the Full Press Radio Network on your Alexa-enabled devices. If you have a thought or opinion, join us in the chat or shoot us a text or call. You can contact us anytime, 626-310-8882. Standard message and data rates may apply. So we have a game where overtime needs to, we know overtime needs to be fixed in some way. We need the shootout fixed in some way. Greg Wyshynski brought up an idea. And he brought up an idea, and it was originally like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe, Brian Burke had talked about a shot clock in overtime. And they have it in lacrosse. They have it in basketball, completely different sport, but lacrosse is the closest you're going to get that instills a shot clock. And in overtime, you have to take a shot. In overtime, you have to, but it's different. It's unique. I don't like it. Maybe have a center ice rule, kind of like the 8 second rule in NBA, where you have to get past center ice or something like that. But I don't like the idea of a shot clock, because that's just going to be too weird. Period. I don't know what else you can do. I mean, you can get rid of the 3-on-3 completely and maybe go back to 4-on-4, maybe do something different or whatever. But I don't, it's a tough situation with that, because other than extending the overtime, right? Extending the overtime, bringing back ties, bringing 3-2-1. There, you got to try and motivate these teams to stop playing for shootouts, and that's what we see way too much is shootouts, and those need to go. Bring back ties at least. Now, that is overtime. There's a lot we can talk about in this game. So we're going to transition from overtime here and the shootout to my issues, I guess, with the broadcasts of the league right now. Now, the NHL in the States started their new deal with Turner and ESPN. They have games Wednesday nights on TNT, Winter Classic on TNT. Every game's on ESPN Plus. Blackout restrictions apply, which is a whole nother mess that I can talk about an entire hour that needs to go away forever and never to return our blackouts. But ESPN, they had games for the first month. They had the things then for the first few weeks. Then you didn't hear from them until the day after Thanksgiving. And then they had a game on ESPN again last night. They just take too much time. And then all the games ESPN Plus, I get that you have your ESPN graphics or ESPN productions, but not having at least one game a week on an ESPN linear network is a massive failure on their part. There are still, I know LG is one of them, that still don't have the ESPN Plus app on their smart televisions. While a lot of people have Rokus and things like that, a lot of people buy smart TV so they don't have to have another device. And if you happen to have an LG smart TV, well, you're SOL because you don't have ESPN Plus. So I haven't been a fan of how ESPN has handled the broadcast or what they did for the first year so far on the flagship networks. I know they will have more games coming up, especially with football dying down in the NBA and all that stuff. I mean, the NBA is going at the same time, but still. Why is John Butchergross calling hockey games? I thought I didn't like Doc Emrick, who I thought was the most overrated voice in all of professional sports from a play-by-play standpoint. John Butchergross is brutal. John Butchergross tries to be for whole other reasons, he shouldn't even have a job. But two, he tries too much and too hard to be like one of the boys that he never was and never could be, but because he's at ESPN, he thinks he can be now. He tries way too hard to be one of the boys with the language and the vernacular that it just comes off as cringy and try-hardy, and it's not good. He sounds like what a hockey play-by-play guy would be in Letterkenny. He's like a PG Shorzy if Shorzy from Letterkenny was ever going to become a hockey play-by-play. And like the one day we're watching, it was Sabres and someone I'm watching, and he's busy just fawning over eating chicken parm in the press box instead of calling the game. Okay. Who thought that? Like, why is he doing that? Like, Ryan Callahan is fine. He's a fine analyst. I don't think that I should have to see and subject myself to John Butchergross calling another NHL game. Kyle says, of course, I would probably pay Letterkenny type commentary in NHL games. I would too. It'd be fun. It's kind of like when you would get the Kings and they'd have like Snoop Dogg come into the booth. Will Ferrell, like having that, it just adds to the excitement of it all. Which I'm all for entertainment, as long as it's good entertainment. And John Butchergross is not good entertainment at all. I just don't like how he calls games. The term schnikey needs to like go away for forever. Like, no, just never again. Sean McDonough does a great job. He's perfectly fine. Steve Levy is he's very good. Obviously, you have Ray Ferraro. You don't need Barry Melrose there either. Just saying. I just don't. I don't like how Butchergross calls games. Plain and simple. That's my only gripe with ESPN's broadcast. I love their score bug for the NHL. I would like to see shot tallies be more static like they are on TNT. But I like the graphics package. I like the presentation. The only problem is because it's ESPN Plus and it's an internet-based thing, the streams lag, things are bad. Because internet infrastructure is still not where it needs to be, ESPN Plus struggles with live programming in a major way. And that is on an American internet infrastructure problem that needs to be solved. Now, TNT, on the other hand, don't like any of it. The only thing I like is their score bug. They went way too much NBC. It's as if I'm watching NBCSN, just, I went, they changed and they have a different logo. They're boring. I was so hoping that they'd bring in some fresh, like you have Wayne Gretzky, that's all well and good, but they'd bring in some fresh young people, like people who mesh well and gel and just feel and sound excited to be talking about the game. Paul Bissonnette can go away. He doesn't matter. Like what does he have to offer that Joe Schmo at the corner store doesn't, other than a terrible vodka commercial? It's just, I'm watching NBC all over again. It's the same broadcast. Like Kenny Albert's fine. I wanted to see new, relatively unknown, maybe pluck someone from a local team and have them give them a shot. Kind of like what they did with John Forslund years ago. I don't like watching games on TNT. I think I've watched one game on TNT over the past since opening night, and that was the Winter Classic. I don't like any of their presentation. I don't like their graphics packages. I don't like their set. I don't like anything they do from a broadcast perspective. And sure, the ratings might be better than what they were on NBCSN, but I don't think they even come close to what ESPN has been able to do on their online service with ESPN Plus covering the game. So far this year, they're just not that good. Not that good at all. I don't need the same. I just feel it's too NBC. It's NBC light at this point. Turner went NBC light with that. They went for what people knew. And you would think, seeing how things were with NBC, what people knew isn't what they wanted. Yeah, there's no more Doc. That's fine. But you don't need any of them at all. I don't get why they had to bring in so many from them. But I mean, there's no more Pierre McGuire either. He's up there trying to ruin the Ottawa Senators. So that's a win, you could say. But it's just, I don't know. We're going to take a quick break here on Full Press Radio and Full Press coverage, twitch.tv. When I get back, there's another thing that needs to be fixed in the NHL. And that is the officiating and how every sport has problems, but the NHL is up there as far as clear as the worst. We'll get into that momentarily. You are watching Mike and listening to Mike Saves Hockey here on Full Press Coverage. Welcome back, everyone, to Mike Saves Hockey, the debut edition here on January 7th, 2022. You're tuned in on Full Press Radio, Full Press coverage on Facebook, Full Press Cover, Twitter, NHL on Twitter, twitch.tv/FullPressCoverage, and YouTube Full Press Coverage. If you missed the first half of the show, we talked fixing overtime, dumping the shootout. My thoughts so far on ESPN and at TNT, aka NBC Lite. But now that we're back, it's time to talk a little bit about another problem. And I teased it right before the break, and that's officiating. NHL officiating is brutal, guys. It's just not in a good place at all. Most sports aren't in a good place, let's be real. But NHL seems to be the worst of it. We're seeing calls that should be made that aren't, which happens everywhere, but it seems like they're very ticky-tack on what institutes, for example, boarding. Hitting in the numbers, if you see someone hitting the numbers, no matter how the situation, penalty should be gone. What institutes a hook? What institutes a trip? What institutes an interference? What institutes goalie interference? If a goalie's out of his crease and gets bumped, that's not goalie interference. Sorry. What? And they got to get rid of the, there's so much, so many ways. But officiating, what's offside? What is an offside? We had the call for the Sabres a few weeks ago, game tying goal wiped off because of what the NHL came back the next day and said was no, he was actually onside. The situation room got it wrong, which is there to make sure that doesn't happen. Right? It's not in a good place overall with how things are. And I don't get at all what they do. I know with most sports, officiating is not full time, but we're at the point that they need to make officials for all sports full time employees. They need to make sure they are around the rules 24/7. They are watching. They're watching film just like the players are, because it's not a good look. You have one ref that you have so many different refs, and I get it. This is where human error and judgment comes in, which I'm perfectly okay with. But there should be a consistency across where, all right, I don't care, human error or not. You see someone turn and get hit into the numbers and their face goes into the boards, you know, that should be it. That's a penalty. Kyle with a great point. I think like with most sports, the problem lies with the league and governing bodies that are in charge of the referees. Yeah. And I don't know what the vetting process is. Again, I don't know if these refs, they make the refs like watch film. They don't, I don't know what they make the refs do. But it should be, they have to train, they have to practice, they have to study just as much as players do. And maybe they do. Maybe they do and we don't know, but it doesn't seem like that with what's going on. And I get, and if worse comes to worse, you have a fifth official on the ice. It's already crowded with four, but you have a fifth one somewhere, even in the scorer's booth or something. George Parrell still in charge of player safety. I believe he is, yes, and that's a joke. They seem to get the players who didn't care for anybody's safety when they were playing to be in charge of player safety. Brandon Shanahan, Chris frickin' Pronger, George Parrell. I find it to be a joke, kind of like the Queen of England, right? It's not a real position. They don't matter. Because if they did and they actually mattered, I think they'd put someone in a position or in that position that knew what the hell they were doing. And right now they don't. Guys, if you want to join the show, feel free to join the chat on Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter, or YouTube. Or call or leave us a text, 626-310-310-8882. Standard message and data rates may apply, will apply. So be warned if you decide that you do want to jump in on the action there. We are at a crossroad, though, with it. Kyle suggests Paul Kariya, someone like that, someone who knows. Would he want to do it? Obviously, we don't know. But we need someone who actually will care about the player's safety. But we already know the league doesn't. We've seen it with the CTE and Bettman going, no, it's not hockey that causes it. It's not that at all. Granted, every physical sport is going to cause it, whether it's hockey, MMA, soccer, even you're headbutting the ball all the time, football especially. Like, that's just a risk at this point you're going to play, and you try and work to make the game safer and safer than what it was 10 years prior. But there's always going to be that risk. But, I mean, this is a league that denies its existence almost. And it doesn't help other things. So we don't know what's going on, what they're going to do. But there's always going to be that. That's just how it seems to be.
But, I mean, this is a league that denies its existence almost. And it doesn't help other things. So we don't
know what's going on. Occupational hazards. Exactly. That's all they're occupational hazards. Every job has it. For me, I could get a really bad cramp while I'm writing code in my 9-to-5, or while I'm talking, I could sneeze and I can headbutt this microphone. And you can't tell me that wouldn't be funny. Let's be real. If I'm just sitting here sneezing and I headbutt the microphone, it would actually be really hysterical to have that. I don't know what else on that point. Back to the actual point. Putting more people than just one person in charge of player safety would help. I think adding an official in the scorer's booth could help with things. I do like the idea of maybe adding a sky official to overlook things like, hey, I saw this, or hey, I saw this. Someone in the arena watching the cameras for especially things that are blatant that don't get called. Like, we've seen knee on knees, blatant, don't get called. They get suspended after the fact, but they don't get called. We see cross checks constantly not called. We see slashes, high sticks, not called. But if your skate is above that blue line, you better bet it's going to be reviewed for 25 minutes until people fall asleep. It's going to happen. I just don't know. I don't know where to go with it at that point with the officiating. They, like, we get it. It's hard. Like, it is hard to read all those rules. But it's not hard to hire people and have them who understand all those rules. And if you want it to be simpler, rewrite the damn rule book. Make it simpler. And I don't see where it can't be rewritten. Maybe you add something along the lines like a relegation system with officials or a penalty system for them. Like, all right, you made two egregious missed calls. Like, you missed two in two games within a week. You missed two boarding plays that should have been boarding penalties that left a player now injured. You are now either sent to the AHL to officiate, or you miss your next few assignments, something. Because players get held accountable, coaches get held accountable. When was the last time you hear of referees and officials being held accountable for blatant mistakes? What happened to the refs who what happened to the officials who deem that Sabres game tying goal offside when it wasn't. The NHL came out the next day. What happened to that official? No one comes out with that. The same way players are held accountable, officials should be held accountable as well. And I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Again, 626-310-8882 is the number to send in a text message or join us here on the air. If you are watching us on Twitch or YouTube, follow the channels, subscribe to the channels, share it with your friends. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, like and follow the pages. If you're on the app, thank you. If you're listening to us on Alexa devices, thank you. If you're at fullpressradio.com, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There is so much wrong with this game. And it's hard to wrap my head around it. What we have to do. I know in future episodes, I already have planned on topics. I'm not going to get to all. I didn't want to get to all of them today. I kind of wanted to spend this first episode about 45, 50 minutes or so. And then moving forward will be about an hour. We'll have some guests on for each topics moving forward. Starting next week, some members of the FPC staff, some from outside, some big names I'm working on getting on the show to talk about the future and the status of this game. And we are, one of the things coming up is the old boy mentality. This old school versus new school, there's constant arguments between the eye test and analytics, between the excitement, like the coaches who like can't have this type of play in hockey. Again, I'm looking at you, Torch. You're not a coach anymore, but you still represent that era. The idea of constant retreads, teams that just it seems to be a friends and hockey is a friends and family culture where if you've been around the sport long enough, especially at the NHL level, you're going to be brought back constantly. They're going to do good by their friends as opposed to making necessarily the smart decisions. So there's a lot to talk about. But for now, this is where we're going to leave it. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Straw Media. Follow Full Press NHL on Twitter at Full Press NHL. Like us on Facebook at Full Press NHL. Visit fullpresshockey.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitch. Everywhere. We're everywhere. The Full Press Radio Network. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. Nor should it. It's going to happen. Full Press is taking over. And we will see you next week here with Mike Saves Hockey.